Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to my talk. Today, I'm going to present our paper, Accurate Constellation-Aware Rate Estimation in Wireless Network. This is a joint work with Navin Shantapuri, Romit Roy Choudhury, and Srihari Nilakuditi. Let me begin by setting the right context for this paper. It is widely known that wireless link throughput depends on the transmission bit rate. Since different links support different bit rates, choosing the optimal bit rate is an important problem. Now, the optimal bit rate selection is challenging because the wireless channel varies over both space and time. In space, as the client moves closer to the access point, its channel improves, and hence the access point can support a better rate for this client. Even if the client is static at one location, the wireless channel will keep changing over time, and thus the access point needs to adapt its rate. Previous work has identified this problem, and there has been a lot of work in this area. We divide them in three broad heads. There are frame-based protocols in which the access point remembers the history of packet loss and failure, and using that information, it predicts what should be the next rate for the outgoing packet. There are SNR-based approaches where the client gives the SNR feedback to the access point. The access point has an SNR rate table, and it uses it to find out what should be the rate for the next packet. Currently, physical layer-based approaches have been proposed. Softret is the pioneer in this area. It uses a BER heuristic to estimate the bit rate. BER can accurately identify when to increase or decrease the rate. However, it may not be able to jump to the optimal rate. Now, let us take a step back and understand what we are really trying to solve here. Ideally, the access point as a transmitter wants the optimal rate for the next packet. Now, since the optimal rate for the next packet is a decision in the future, we can think it as a predictive function of the optimal rate of the current packet. Now, we are not looking at how to find this function. What we are trying to ask in this work is, how do we figure out the optimal rate of a packet that we have just received? In other words, given a transmission at rate R, what would have been the max rate R star at which the transmission would have been successful? To solve this problem, we propose Accurate. Our basic intuition is to use physical layer symbol level information. Before going into the details of Accurate, let me present some background on symbols, modulation, and bitrate. The wireless physical layer maps bits to constellation symbol. In this example, I'm showing a 4-QAM constellation which has 4 possible symbols. In this example, the physical layer will take 2 bits together and will map it to the corresponding constellation symbol. It will move on for the next bits and will map it to the corresponding symbol. This constellation symbols will form the analog signal. It will go through the channel. The channel is going to distort this signal. The receiver will sample this signal and will obtain the received symbol. Observe that since the channel is distorting this signal, the received symbol will have some dispersion from the ideal transmitted symbol. What the receiver will do is to find what were the bits that the transmitter wanted to transmit. It will map it to the nearest constellation points. For example, it will map it to 1-1. And hence, in this example, it was correctly able to find out what was the transmitted bits. Now, for the sake of simplicity, we'll abstract the entire process of modulation and demodulation into transmitted constellation, the channel, and the received constellation. If the access point wants to transmit at a higher rate, it is going to use a denser constellation. Thus, it can use four bits together and map it to a four-quam constellation symbol. It can transmit at an even higher rate using a 64-quam constellation. It will map six bits together in this context and will map it to one of the symbols in the constellation. Now, the obvious question is, why not always transmit at many bits per symbol? Because that will always achieve a high rate. This is not always feasible because the channel might be weak. If the channel is weak, it will cause a high dispersion. If the dispersion is high, the receive symbol will move towards another constellation symbol. The receiver will wrongly map it to a wrong constellation symbol, and hence the packet will get corrupted. Thus, in general, a weak channel will cause a high dispersion, and a strong channel will cause a low dispersion. If the dispersion is small, it can fit in a denser constellation, and hence, smaller dispersion permits higher rate. With this background, let us now present the design and implementation of Accurate. The basic hypothesis of Accurate is that symbol dispersion is independent of modulation. To verify this hypothesis, we did the following experiment. We transmitted back-to-back packets at different modulations, and we calculated the dispersion at the receiver site. For example, here we transmitted 4-quam symbol, and then we transmitted 16-quam symbols, and we calculated the dispersions at the receiver site. We present here the CDF of the dispersions for different modulation schemes. Similar CDF gives evidence of our hypothesis. This is also intuitively true because the channel does not know what the transmitter is doing, and hence it is going to act in an impartial manner. This has also been verified by previous work. From this hypothesis, now let me explain how Accurate is going to select the optimal modulation. The Accurate receiver will receive a packet and is going to find the dispersion within the packet. Now, the Accurate receiver knows what are the modulations possible in the scheme, and it also knows what is the maximum dispersion allowable per modulation. So what it can do is, it can see what the dispersion that the channel is giving, and it can take the allowable dispersion on a per modulation basis and can see if that channel dispersion fits in this modulation. Hence, it will start with, say, BPSK. If BPSK fits, it will move on and try QPSK. Suppose QPSK also fits, then it will move on with 16-quam. If 16-quam fails, it will say that 4-quam was the highest modulation for which the symbol would have been successful. So 4-quam is the correct modulation for this channel. We call this virtual channel replay. This is as if the packet was transmitted at different modulation schemes, and we are replaying the channel using that one single packet and trying to find whether the packet would have been successful at that different modulation scheme. Now, what we presented before was only for one symbol. Now, the wireless packet will consist of many bits and hence many symbols. Accurate records the dispersion for every symbol in a packet and creates a vector called the channel replay vector. Of course, when the packet succeeds, we can calculate all the dispersions correctly. When the packet fails, because only the preamble and the postamble is known, Accurate estimates the channel replay vector from the preamble and the postamble. In a nutshell, what the receiver will do is it will receive a packet, and it will try to replay the channel for different modulation schemes possible, and we'll try to find out if the and we'll try to find out the maximum modulation scheme for which this packet will go through. Thus, in this example, the receiver receives the packet. It will modulate the packet and BPSK. It will replay the channel for BPSK, try to demodulate it, and find out whether the packet would have gone through. It will move on if it is correct and do the same thing for 4CAM. Note that all these things are happening at the receiver using a single packet. It will, if 4CAM is successful, it will try 16CAM. Suppose 16CAM was a failure, then the receiver will conclude that 4CAM was the best modulation rate for this particular channel. Previously, we showed how we select the optimal modulation for a given channel. However, optimal modulation does not mean optimal rate. This is because wireless bit rate is a function of both modulation and coding. So, an obvious question is, can we find the optimal modulation and coding combination for a received packet? This can be done using the same architecture I presented before. The only difference here is that the receiver now needs to replay the channel for different modulation and coding schemes. And so in this scheme, what the receiver will do is it will receive a packet and it will ask the question that what would have happened if the packet was transmitted at BPSK half coding. To answer this question, the receiver will modulate the packet at BPSK, encode it using half coding, replay the channel, demodulate, decode, and try to find out whether the packet goes through. Suppose BPSK and half coding was successful at the receiver's end, it will say that 6 Mbps was possible. It will use the same packet and will try to replay the channel for higher rates, and it will keep doing that until it finds that there was a failure. Note that this is the same packet that the receiver is using, and all these are happening at the receiver's end. So in this example, since 18 Mbps was a failure, the receiver will correctly conclude that 12 Mbps is the correct rate for this channel, and the best modulation and coding combination is QAM 4 and half. We evaluate accurate using ESRPs and chain radios. We have used 802.11-like modulation and coding schemes. We are comparing against soft rate and SNR-based schemes. We have run experiments both on testbed and simulation. In testbed, we have used 10 walking traces. And in simulation, we are trying to characterize accurate performance under high mobility using a relative fading channel. Even before understanding how accurate performs, we need to answer the question that, given a packet, how do you find out what is the true optimal rate for that packet? This is important because we are trying to find accurate performance corresponding to the optimal rate of the channel at that point of time. This is easy to do in simulation because in simulation you can freeze the channel and you can transmit the packet at different rates. And hence, you can find out what is the maximum optimal rate that the channel supports. This is not true in testbed. In testbed, the channel will keep changing. So what we do is we use a train of packets, which we call the virtual packet. A virtual packet will consist of packets at different rates. So within a virtual packet time window, the maximum rate that goes through, we conclude that that is the true optimal rate for that time window. So in this example, 18 Mbps is the optimal rate for that time window. Suppose that accurate prescribes 24 Mbps. So in thus, accurate overestimates the channel by one rate step. If accurate prescribes 12 Mbps, accurate underestimates the rate by one step. Let us see how accurate does in both simulation and testbed. As you can see, the optimal line here for simulation, in our case, when the packet was correctly received, a Q-rate can find the optimal rate 100% of the time. If the in testbed, if the packet was correctly received, we can find the rate 95% of the time. When it was not correctly received, both in simulation and in testbed, we sometimes fail. Now, whatever I have presented until now was only due to fading. A Q-rate needs to detect interference. This is because rate selection needs to be independent of interference. So how do we detect interference? Sorry about that. So the way we detect interference is, our basic intuition here is that interference causes substantial symbol dispersion. So what we can do is that if the interference starts first, we can take the preamble. The preamble will be the one which will be interfered and will have a higher dispersion than the postamble, which is in the clear. If the interference starts second, the postamble will have a higher dispersion than the preamble. Thus, in a nutshell, we can compare the preamble and the postamble dispersion and can find whether the packet was interfered or not. Let us see how we do in our interference detection accuracy. In this graph, using the red bars, we are showing the interference detection accuracy of Accurate. As the rate increases, we find that Accurate's interference detection accuracy also increases. This is because dispersion is more predominant with denser constellations. We have found in our experiment that at the highest rate, Accurate can find the interference 95% of the time. It is also important to understand that in the presence of interference, how Accurate does in terms of rate estimation. In this graph, the green portion shows the percentage of time when Accurate can correctly find the optimal rate in presence of interference for different bit rates on the x-axis. On average, we have found that in presence of interference, Accurate can find the optimal rate 91% of the time. Now, we have shown that Accurate estimates the optimal rate of an already received packet. An important question is, what is the performance if the next transmission uses this rate? To answer this question, we have run throughput experiments. So in this example, I'm showing you a testbed result that we have. The red bars shows Accurate's normalized throughput compared to the optimal possible throughput for different walking traces that we have in our testbed. And we have seen in our experiments that Accurate achieves 87% of the optimal throughput possible. We also wanted to understand how Accurate will perform under mobility. So in this graph, we are showing you, as the channel coherence time decreases, how Accurate performs. And we have found that Accurate performs well even under high mobility. Accurate has its limitations. We understand that the complexity of Accurate is high. But when we started this work, we wanted to answer the question that whether finding the optimal rate of a packet in retrospect is possible or not. Now that we have done this research, future work will look at how we can reduce the implementation cost. Rate estimation for a packet under failure is also sometimes not optimal in case of Accurate. This is because when the packet has failed, we are using only the preamble and the postamble to find the channel replay vector. In the future work, we want to utilize known midambles within the packet to estimate the channel replay vector better. As far as interference is concerned, interfering packet may engulf or be engulfed by the data. In that case, Accurate is unable to detect such cases. Let me now summarize Accurate. Accurate uses symbol dispersion to estimate the bitrate. Symbol dispersion is the correct measure of the channel. It records this symbol dispersions on a packet which it has just received, and it replays the channel for this packet at different bitrates, and it tries to find out which highest bitrate the packet will actually go through. And that bitrate it prescribes as the optimal bitrate at which the packet should have been transmitted at. This optimal bitrate can be used for subsequent transmission. In our experiments with ESRPs, we have seen that Accurate can achieve 87% of the optimal throughput. In conclusion, SoftRed is capable of choosing very good bitrates. Accurate pushes the rate estimation towards optimality. Thank you for coming to my talk. At this point, I would like to take any questions or comments.
Hi. So what you're proposing is to duplicate the Viterbi decoder. Can you hear me? Duplicate the Viterbi decoder as many times as there are different rates, right? So the Viterbi decoder is like one of the most gate-consuming resources in an 802.11 modem.
Right.
So this is going to multiply by several factors the size of the hardware you need.
Right.
You said you, in future work, you want to reduce.
Mm-hmm.
So any ideas on
yeah.
what you could possibly do
yeah.
apart from duplicating?
I'm sorry. Excellent question. So yes, we understand that Viterbi, the decoding is the most expensive part in Accurate's design. So there are two things that we can think about is that in general 802.11, we need half and 3x4 decoding. And you also need 2x3 for 48 Mbps. So what you can do is you can have the half and 2x3 decoder, and you can use pipelining schemes to utilize only those first. Second is you may not need to decode the entire packet. What you can do is you can see what the error distribution is, and you can use the free distance of these codes and can free distance property of these codes and just say whether the packet would have gone through.
Okay, I buy the second part, but
uh-huh.
pipelining will probably put you past the latency you need to act in time.
Sure. Yeah, we are trying to investigate those things.
Okay, thanks.
I guess I have one question too.
Sure.
Do you actually need to do this for every? How frequently do you need to actually compute this? Is there some reason? Sorry.
For every packet.
I guess for optimal, you need for every packet. But, I mean,
mm-hmm.
this has to go into fact of how frequently you might actually need to jump your send rate.
Uh-huh.
So can't you, in some sense, do heavily sampling on, do it much more infrequently? And, I don't know, is it possible even to do compute some of this stuff in software where you're actually acking future packets because, you know your channel rate's not changing too
right.
quick anyway?
Yeah. Very nice observation. So if suppose we know that we have a global picture of what is the channel coherence time. That, look, if you transmit a packet now, you know that from 100 milliseconds from now, the rate is going to change. If you know that, what you can do is, like, you can calculate the rate at this instant, and you can continue using that until 100 milliseconds. Just before 100 milliseconds, you can use Accurate again and can calculate the rate and keep using that for the next time window. So you can do something like that.
Time, it's not like you, if you don't know ahead of time, it's not like you, it doesn't become correct, it's just
mm-hmm.
that you lose optimality from the send rate. So
right.
can't you, I mean, you could trade off complexity versus the performance?
Yeah, if the latency is high, what you can think about is that you calculate the rate for this packet at a delay. And say packet number one, you calculate the rate. And when you are sending the ACK for packet number three, you say this was the rate. So you lose the optimality for one packet. That is possible.
Yeah, one question. Ram Ramji, MSR India. Nice work. The question I had was, do you see frequency select fading? There is only some set of symbols where the dispersion is very high. Often, and if so, can you, you know that the bitter rate for those symbols are bad, but you can apply your stuff to the rest of the bits?
Right. So we haven't really looked into that. I think one of the reasons was that we have used ESRPs using lower bandwidth, and in a lower bandwidth, the frequency selective fading does not come that much in the picture. If you're using a real 20 megahertz bandwidth, then probably you can see that frequency selective fading is happening. And in that case, you can use something like FARA on top of Accurate and get better gains.
Okay, let's thank the speaker.